Hey guys, welcome to Tabletop Discussions with Brittany and
Emmanuel.
And today we're going to give our perspective on what a high quality man and a high quality woman is. So we're going to give, talk about characteristics, talk about what we individually think a high quality man or a high quality woman is. And then we will go into talking about how you know personally if you are a high quality man or woman yourself. So sit back, relax, enjoy. This is going to be a great discussion that we have been wanting to have. And we hope that you guys enjoy it.
And it'll be jam packed.
Yes. So let's get right into it. So, for me, what I consider a high quality man, I feel it has nothing to do with their career or their finances. A lot of people think that if a man makes a lot of money or if he has a very affluent career, that automatically makes him high quality. But I think it has more so to do with the character and the type of morals that a person actually possesses. What would you say?
As far as high quality men?
High quality woman.
Oh. Okay. Well, I would say that a high quality woman, it's you. So I guess I could spend a podcast describing you.
Okay.
So, you want me to go over the qualities now or just say how I differ from other people?
I guess you can say how you differ from other people.
Oh, but I guess we probably should start by just saying, what does high quality mean? What do we mean when we say high quality?
Okay, well, for me, when I say high quality, like I said, for me, that's looking at the person's character and their overall persona.
For dating? Or friendship or work-wise?
No. We're talking about dating.
Okay.
We're not talking about friendship, work-wise. Those are different podcasts. This is a dating aspect.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm looking at the character, the morals, what you possess, how you act, how you treat people. I feel like those all go into what I would consider high-quality man.
Okay. So, if I was to flip that and say what my perspective on high quality female is, I would say that they're probably have feminine energy, which is important to me. Let's see. They're playful. Mm-hmm. They adapt. And I don't want to use the word consistent. They're emotionally stable. Because some people, they just go from 0 to 60, highs to low, but there's no stability in the ship. And then also, I guess I can say that I do want them to have a pleasant appearance. And appearance doesn't just mean just physically the way that they look. It's just the way that they present themselves to the world. Because some people can be really good looking, but have an ugly attitude that they send out into the universe. So, I guess we could start from there. Plus, I guess you actually have to articulate well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's on my list as well. So, characteristics for me, because I feel like what you kind of just described were some aspects of characteristics of what you would consider a high-quality woman, correct?
Oh, those are characteristics? Oh, maybe they are. I was just describing you.
Well, then those are characteristics that I have, that I possess.
Oh, well, I jumped the gun then.
But characteristics for me would be someone who's living in his purpose. So a man who has a plan and an action behind it. Like, it's not enough just to say, like, okay, this is what I want to do, but to be able to actually plan it out and have some sort of action plan to follow through with it. Then I would say second would be mental clarity. That is really important. Someone who has eliminated trauma and they're not trying to project their past issues onto you, because that is not fair. They need to either be coming to you already whole or actually doing the work to get there, I think, which is really important because a lot of people don't do that. So then I would say someone who's well-rounded, someone who can match my intellect.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You want me to, when we were talking about this topic of high quality male and female, and I said I was going to do some brainstorming. Mm-hmm. So I had to think about me as a guy, mm-hmm. right? And I didn't know what you were about to say. Mm-hmm. So this is what I wrote down. As a high quality male, emotionally intelligent, mm-hmm. has a purpose. My grandfather always talked about having a purpose. Mm-hmm. Self-esteem, but generates my own self-esteem, which means it's not from influence from the outside world.
Right.
I feel good because I feel good about me. Mm-hmm. Being assertive. I figure to be high quality, I can't be passive because I can't. Why would you want to follow me if I don't know how to lead and
exactly.
find direction?
Cannot lead people into mess.
And I guess getting to know someone, I guess. This could be male or female, I guess, but I guess you want somebody that's honest with their value system. Mm-hmm. Because I make up words. I do. I feel that everybody, every person, they have a constitution. That's what every country pretty much has. Mm-hmm. Constitution has the Bill of Rights, has right. the amendments, everything that country stands for. Every person has a constitution. Mm-hmm. They have their morals, they have their different things, and that's their value system. And when you get to know people by the things they say and also the things that they're showing, it's like you want somebody that's honest to what they're presenting to be. Like if I tell you I'm thoughtful when you first meet me, it's like I'm letting you know it's in my constitution, I'm thoughtful. So you're just waiting to see. Let me see that thoughtfulness. Mm-hmm. So I do like that. Also, I feel like I have a growth mindset. It's like I'm not satisfied just being where I'm at, where I'm always trying to make things better or get to a better place. And for a relationship, you can never rest because I can get you in my life, but then it doesn't end there because I have to find ways to reinvent all of those initial feelings to keep it going. Mm-hmm. So I feel I possess that. I'm not going to say that I'm high quality, but I put a lot of work into being who I am. So I don't know if that made your list, but if not, you probably should add it, I hope.
I think those are some great characteristics that you listed as well. A few more that I have are articulate your thoughts and know how to properly communicate them. I feel that that is something that is of importance because you need to know how to be able to talk to the person you're with, and you need to know how to be able to just fluently get that across without like anger and getting upset. Also, someone who's willing to learn, which is something that you just touched on.
Did I?
Mm-hmm. You did. I think that everyone should have an open mindset to want to try new things and being receptive to that. So I feel that a high quality man would be someone who would be open to wanting to do that without any hesitation. Like it wouldn't be a problem or it wouldn't be an issue. And then someone who's loyal and honest, which are things that you mentioned. Someone who isn't afraid to say when they don't know and understand. Because sometimes a lot of men have egos and they always want to be looked at as like they're always right. And if it's shown that they have any sort of vulnerability as like not knowing something, then that creates a lot of problems and confusions for them. But sometimes you don't know something and it's okay. And if you don't know it, just admit to that and say that.
Oh, well. Maybe, I don't want to take up for everybody else, but sometimes it feels uncomfortable as a guy just knowing that you don't know, because then you don't feel like you have control. I'm not speaking for me. I'm just saying.
But I feel like if you are a mature man and one who is of high quality, that wouldn't necessarily make you uncomfortable. Like, yeah, you may not like the feeling, but you would be more willing to admit that you don't understand. And you would be able to admit that, especially to someone that you're dating, to let them know, like, you know, I might not know something or I might not understand something, but maybe you can help me gather the information that I need to properly understand.
So in other words, in order for me to do that, I'll have to actually be with a person that actually has some type of emotional stability that we can actually talk things out. Because some people are judgmental that as soon as you don't meet one bar, you're automatically eliminated.
Yeah, so you would have to be with someone who is on the same equal playing field.
Equally yoked.
Yeah, equally yoked.
That's in the Bible, I heard.
And then the last thing I had is leadership. And that's what you were talking about. Lead. Or you said something like that.
Yeah.
Leading. Didn't you?
Yeah. But I guess that might be getting deeper. Because when I say masculine and I say feminine, I'm not always talking about men and women.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel for relationship purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not the things different people do in a relationship, just the man and the woman or the two people together in a relationship, that one, that the masculine energy is the person that's like the protector,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the feminine energy sometimes is the person that the nurturer, the caring, the different things. And I know as a woman and career focused, you can't use feminine energy to move forward in the workplace, because career focused people, you have to use masculine energy.
Right.
You have to be alpha. You have to stand up. You can't be passive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a position that requires that, and most high quality women are in those positions, that you can't let the, what is that, asylum? You can't let the people in the asylum, I can't remember what I was saying. You can't let the, if they're not inmates, what are the people in the asylum called? Like
a mental institution?
Yeah. I can't remember. It was some quote that I wanted to use, but I was about to say you can't let the inmates run the asylum, but that's not the word. But pretty much, you have to use masculine energy. Because, like, you're a dentist. You can't let the patients tell you what to do. You never get your job done.
Of course
so
not.
So you're using this stronger energy, right? It's like a more controlling type energy, but it's necessary for work.
Mm-hmm.
But then in a relationship, you shouldn't have to use that type of energy in order to push the relationship forward. You should just be able to just relax, and then the flow of the relationship.
I was gonna say, then it'll just naturally flow.
Yeah, and that's
it, doesn't have to be forced.
That's the feminine energy. So mm-hmm. some people call it submitting, but it's not really submitting. It's kind of just the energies line up, and you mm-hmm. just kind of go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a good break too. I don't know if I'm making this up. I just believe it. It's my perspective, and I share it with the world.
Yeah, all of this is our perspective, and we're just sharing our thoughts. Okay, so that leads me to our next topic of discussion. Well, not next topic, but our next viewpoint in this topic is, how do you attract the type of person that you're wanting to be with? So how would a woman attract a high quality man? And how would a man attract a high quality woman? So I think from the woman's viewpoint, you have got to bring more than just beauty to the table. And we have to be honest, ladies. A lot of women believe that just a cute face and other physical attributes are all the things that are needed to attract a quote-unquote high-quality man. But it's much more than that. Those are superficial things. I feel like if you're really trying to attract someone who is of high quality, you must be that yourself. So if you don't possess any of the characteristics that you are seeking for in a high quality man, then you can't expect to draw a high quality man into your life. So it's kind of like you must be who you want to attract, essentially. And if you are not meeting those characteristics that you are seeking in these men, then you might need to sit down and do some self-realization and do the work to get yourself to that level. That's what I would say.
Well, I would probably, actually, I do agree, but the way I would say it is, most people, they have this, there's a lot of people that have this altered view on their self that sometimes they undervalue or overvalue their self. And like you said, what you consider high quality is based on what you feel about yourself. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people aren't honest mm-hmm. about their self, because some people, the outside world dictates how they feel about their self. Mm-hmm. If everybody tell them how fine and attractive they are, mm-hmm. that becomes their view. Mm-hmm. But you should already just have that view, even if nobody tells you that.
Yeah.
It's like, I shouldn't have to tell you you're a good communicator in order for you to feel that way. Mm-hmm. You should just already learn to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes being honest with yourself is hard. So when some people think high quality, I know as a guy, that sometimes the women that's interested in us don't actually bring us in. They want more from us than they're giving back, mm-hmm. and not reciprocating. Like if I'm this and you're this and it's the same, it's just the list of things that they want is the demands. Mm-hmm. But it's like they feel like just being with me as the woman is enough. That's what you get out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's not really reciprocating, because if we really think about it, if a guy is somewhat high quality, it's like he pretty much has most of the things that he has or that he wants.
That he wants, yeah.
Or that he needs. It's just there's something else. But then some people, they just, I don't know. It's different, because it's I ain't gonna say it's easier for women or easier for men. It's just the trials and tribulations are a little different. I was looking at this YouTube video, I can't remember who it was, that this one guy was talking. He was like in his 20s, and he was talking about a lot of the women that he was dating, that he says that the women wanted to date a guy that makes money. And a lot of those women he was meeting had jobs that they weren't making money, but they wanted a guy to be financially stable. And he just regurgitated. He was talking about, she wants me to be financially stable in order for me to date her, and she's broke.
But that's true. But that is true a lot of times. Like, you can't want for a person to be all these things that you just aren't. So if you want someone who is financially stable, then you should be bringing that to the table as well. You should have your finances together. You should have your credit score together. You should be saving money. You can't come into a situation with someone who's whole and you're broken down. Like, that might sound harsh to some people, but that's just reality. You can't come into a relationship saying, I want someone who communicates well, but you're passive aggressive and you shut down all the time when someone is trying to talk to you and communicate with you. That's why if you are looking for someone who is of high quality, you're gonna rise to the occasion to become that yourself.
Oh, so we're gonna take a quick break right now, but when we come back, I just wanted to go over a couple of things, because prior to us doing this podcast, I actually put a couple of posts on social media just to see what comes back. I kind of went fishing. Mm-hmm. And there was one of my friends from our friends list that told me what she felt high quality males and females should consist of. And I want to actually tell you what she said right after this break. Okay, we're back. So, in the last segment, I talked about how I put posts up on social media just to find out what are some of the traits and qualities of high-quality males and females from other people. So, I have a friend of mine, I won't use any names, but she says that high quality for male and female are the same. And she says some of the qualities for her is someone that is appreciative, affectionate, attentive, loyal, honest, fun, likes to laugh, good communicator, mental intimacy, and good sex is a bonus. So, this was her thought. So what do you think about the way she described the trait? What does it sound like to you?
I think those are good traits to have. I think, especially the attentiveness, I think that is something that, like she said, both a high quality man and a high quality woman probably would possess, because I feel like you're going to be concerned about the other person that you're with. You're going to be concerned about the little details. You're going to pay attention to all of that. So I think that everything that she said, I definitely agree with.
And one thing I noticed when she wrote that went back to what you said, is that high quality didn't represent career choice, mm-hmm. finances, and different things like that. Which kind of goes back to what I said, that some people consider themselves to be high quality just because they make a lot of money or they have a certain career.
Right, and the thing about that is you can make all the money that you want in the world, but you have piss poor character traits.
So, with that being said, I'm going to read you one more post from social media.
Okay.
And this is from a guy.
Okay.
So I just want to see if it sounds different. Mm-hmm. And this one says, he says, qualities of a high quality person are honesty, excellent communication, faithfulness, trust, God-fearing and prayerful, patient, understanding, and they must both, and he used must in capital letters, they must both believe in the golden rule as it pertains to their partner. So what about that? You can see that too.
Yeah. I can see that.
So, in other words, high quality is a list of intangibles that they're difficult to quantify because mm-hmm. a person has to show those mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. They can't just tell you those things. They can tell you, but they still have to show it. Mm-hmm. So to be considered high quality, maybe it's the way the world sees you back in some ways. Because if I think I'm honest, people have to validate that I'm actually honest.
Yeah, it's more so how you're presenting yourself to the world.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like it's a representation of how you are presenting yourself to the general public. And then also the reflection of how they see you.
So with that being said, I guess we should talk about ourselves, right?
Okay,
so I guess you can start, because we talked about what we felt would be high quality. Mm-hmm. And we talked about characteristics of high quality, but let's talk about us. Mm-hmm. All right. So you want to talk about yourself or you want to talk about me?
I'm going to talk about you, what you have showed me a high quality man is.
Oh, can I handle the honesty? Oh.
Well, you ready?
Oh, should I breathe or hold my breath?
I think there's only good things.
Okay. Whew. Okay, I'm ready.
The dramatics coming out.
I don't know what I'm about to hear.
Nothing but good things. But no, seriously. So what Emmanuel has showed me to be characteristics of a high quality man is, as a woman, to not settle for subpar behavior in a man.
Okay.
Number one. That's one of the things you have shown me. I don't have to settle for piss poor behavior because you show up all the time, no matter what it is. And I feel like that's something that someone who is only of a high character would do, because if you don't care about a person and a person doesn't mean anything to you, you're going to be the bare minimum. And you're none of that. You show up all the time. You're present 100% of the time, no matter what it is we're doing, no matter how big or how small. Two, what you showed me is that I don't have to deal with men who are insecure. Mm-hmm. Men who feel like, and it's some examples of that. So there are some men who feel like they can buy a woman's love and attention by buying them clothes and buying them bags and getting hair and nails done and things like that. Yes, those are nice things. But I feel like if you can't show affection to a person by not buying them something that is always necessary, like a money situation, then that could be somewhat of an insecurity on the man's side, because they only feel that they're useful for what they can offer or give. And I feel like you're showing me that I don't have to deal with men who feel like they can buy my love and attention with gifts and things of that nature. You show that just every single day with who you are as a person, in your being, and how you treat me, and how you listen to me, and how you pay attention to the small details. Which then leads me to a high quality person like you. You don't have poor communication. You're not passive aggressive. You don't have anger issues. You know how to properly communicate your thoughts and get them across. So no matter what topic we're discussing, you always know how to properly analyze things, and we are able to have a cohesive conversation amongst the two of us, even if it's something where we're still like teetering on, like, if we may agree or disagree, it never is a blow up. Now, if you're dealing with someone who is of low quality, then it's always going to be an issue. It's always going to be some sort of level of passive aggression. It's always going to be some anger issue, because that's because they have not properly figured out on their own personal end how to properly communicate and get their thoughts out. And that's something you have to work on yourself before you try to interact with someone who is of high quality to me. And then the last thing that you have showed me is I don't have to deal with men who have not addressed their traumas. We all have dealt with past traumas or adverse things in our life, but it's all about doing the work to not bring that into your current relationship. And I feel like if you are of a high quality man, like you, of course.
Thank you.
You will have done all of that necessary work that is needed to not bring past issues into a new relationship. Like, you are very cognizant of the things that you have experienced, and you have been very open about the things that you have experienced and that you have gone through, but you always make it a point to say that you want to be better. Mm-hmm. You are, you know, getting better each and every single day. So you're not using anything that happened to you 20, 30 years ago or whatever and using that now to project that onto me. So I just feel that those are characteristics that a person who is of high quality is going to be forthcoming about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you've been very forthcoming in our relationship with setting the tone of, these are the things that are of importance to you, and this is how you're going to handle them, and this is how you're going to address them. And like I said at the beginning, that's a characteristic of having an action or a plan and an action behind it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I was going to start off a little different, but I guess I should address some of the things that you said. First of all, thank you, because I never actually heard all of those things together at one time in reference to me. Mm-hmm. So if I was an emotional person, I would be tears, right?
You can cry, go ahead. I'm
like
waiting.
Smiley face emojis with tears coming out of the side, with like squeezing a heart.
I'm waiting, you can go ahead.
So, but what I would actually say that as far as like me, I don't, well, I guess we all experience things, so I know I sound cliche where they talk about life is only 10% of what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. So when things happen that are adverse, mm-hmm. I think those are opportunities for learning.
Yes.
And you learn a lot about your character and who you are. That I feel you can learn more about failure. Mm-hmm. Than you can when you succeed.
Because
when you succeed, it seems simpler than it is.
Mm-hmm.
But failing in relationships, you learn. Some people complain about the other people. But when you're failing, you actually really see what you're really made of, who you really are.
Yeah.
So I try to look at the bright spot. What did I learn from that? And being single, I did spend time dating myself, like just doing stuff just for me, just to see how I feel and enjoy it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you're in relationship, you're not always just enjoying it for you.
Yeah.
You need to know who you are. So meeting you meeting anyone that's good for you, it shouldn't be your sole purpose. If you're on your purpose, it makes it easier for you to meet that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're not on your purpose, a lot of people that you connect with is another person that's also not on their purpose.
Yeah, it's a
which
roadblock.
Is essentially blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're already lost and I'm lost, we'll just be lost together. And essentially that could be a lot of relationships.
Yeah.
But when you're on your purpose, it makes it easier because some of the qualities that you're projecting, they're easily seen because you're on your purpose. Your purpose isn't just your career. It's just the things you're doing in life, because the relationship shouldn't be your life.
Mm.
You should have a life, and that relationship completes the circle. So I think being on the purpose is actually like a good thing, and communication sets the stage for everything.
Yeah.
That you could possibly have, because good communication means that we don't have to agree on everything. If we have communication, we can find understanding.
A common ground.
But that also goes with the emotional balance that you call passive aggressive. I call emotional balance, that we have poor communication, and you also have those qualities, it leads to a lot of ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
That I would think that we may or may not agree on everything, but if we communicate well, we find understanding.
Yeah.
So we don't disagree most of the time. We just sometimes don't agree on how we came to the solution. It's kind of like math where we have to show our work.
Right.
So, for me, I think some of the qualities that I see in you, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying I'm an expert. I knew what qualities I desired, right? I didn't know if I was acceptable for a person with those qualities. Mm-hmm. But then again, I had never seen that person.
Right.
But when I met you, it fleshed out the qualities that I really knew what they look like. Mm-hmm. They look like Brittany. So I'll tell you a little bit about her, Brittany. So Brittany is a wonderful communicator. It's like she's very articulate and she can get her point across. Mm-hmm. And not in a mean or aggressive manner. She can actually meet me where I'm at in the conversation. And also with that intelligence, I don't have to dumb down my conversation to reach her or go up to a higher level. We just kind of connect. So she has great communication. She's very articulate. She actually has dreams and goals. I think at the beginning, we start talking about where we saw ourselves 3, 4, 5 years from now, not for relationship purpose, just life-wise. Mm-hmm. Some of the things we wanted to accomplish and do. And I like that you have a vision, because for relationship purposes, we can create shared visions.
Right.
And with me knowing some of your visions, I can help push some of them forward and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I do like that. I do like that you're serious when you need to be serious, but you can also open up and just be playful. And we can just enjoy the moment where we're at. That we're not talking about anything serious, anything that really matters. We're just enjoying the moment. So instead of just wasting it away watching TV, we're watching each other just laughing about random things. But again, that goes with our communication.
Right.
So communication, purpose are the two most important qualities that you actually have. And then it's like the way that you make me, like I have great self-esteem and I feel pretty secure. But it's like you actually cement it more. Because I know that with me being on my purpose, doing things that I'm trying to do, and knowing that another person that's on their purpose, they can believe in me as well. It like reinforces everything that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel that I'm not where I'm not. I feel that I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
So I enjoy being with you. I can't wait to see you again just to tell you about something that happened to me, to see what your thoughts are. So I value your opinion. And I think that's a great thing for relationships. Just value another person's opinion. Our relationship is we're two people starting a small business. We only have two employees in this business. So we have to work together with all of our different qualities to make it work. So we continue looking at this like a small business, and the relationship is our business. Brittany Emanuel, how are we going to make this a successful business and grow the business?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're actually going a long way towards that. So I don't know if I got off topic. I'm just saying what the truth is. I could be superficial and shallow and just say, I really love the way that you look. But when I say that I love the way you look, I'm not always talking about the way you physically look on the outside. Because when I say the way you look, I'm reaching within also. You have a beautiful spirit and a beautiful mind. And it kind of goes with the beautiful exterior. So that's like a trifecta. That means three.
We know it means three.
Okay, I'm just saying.
But I appreciate all the nice things that you said about me. They're so wonderful, so heartwarming.
And they're true. You can write it down. Or play back this podcast.
I'll play back the podcast. But no, those are beautiful things that we both said about each other.
Okay.
No, I agree. So, the next topic, not even the next topic, guys, sorry. Just segueing into the last thing that we kind of want to touch on. For me, is embracing what you want. And this is especially for women. It might be different for men, but I'm speaking for the ladies. And for me, it's more so, don't be ashamed of what you want.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
Yes. Sorry, guys. Someone's distracting me over here. No, don't be ashamed in what you want. Really, ladies, like, I know a lot of people may think that wanting a high quality man, like, oh, you're stuck up or you're bougie. Why do you have all these characteristics and that you want in a person? You shouldn't be that superficial. But no, if that's what you want and that's what you desire, go for it. I feel like no more dating a person's potential in 2021. Because potential, yes, that looks nice, but what you have in your mind as far as what their potential could be, they might not even have that same thought process. So we're not doing that. No dating potential in 2021. Either you're going to come completely whole or, you know, just leave that person be. If they are not together, if they are not who they are meant to be yet, just leave them alone.
So I don't have any potential?
You have exceeded all the potential in the world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who don't necessarily have all their screws, I guess, screwed in. Like, they don't, they're more so like lackadaisical. You know how some people are just like lackadaisical? They're not really sure what it is they want to do. They have all these grand ideas, but no, like, action or plan behind it. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, don't just look at a person's potential of what they could be. Look at exactly what is being presented in front of you. If what's being presented in front of you does not align with what it is that you want, it's okay to move on from that. And it's okay to let it go. And I mean, at the end of the day, you deserve the type of man or woman that you want to be with.
Mm. So with that being said, just thinking about it, I guess most people drive cars, automobiles. Some people are on boats, but either way, you go get it. You have an idea what kind of car you want, right? Because you've been looking at different cars, and you know the cars that you don't want. Mm-hmm. There's certain cars that you just say, I would never drive that car,
right?
And then there's the car that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they go get cars, and if they can't get the car that they want, they want no car at all, right? But then there's some people that they want to get this car, and they be like, oh, what if I can't afford it? So they don't even try to get that car. They just look at something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the third type of person that they come in, and they be like, I know what I want. I want that Infiniti Q45. And they'll go through all the paperwork to try to get what they want. And if they can't get it, they'll be like, oh, I'm good. And they won't look at any other one. And when you go to the dealerships, they always try to show you, before they show you what you want, they show you other options.
Mm-hmm.
So if I think that's like dating, because it's kind of like meeting people and dating, it's like a lot of times people don't feel like they can get what they really want. So they don't even try to get it. That person or that type of person.
They end up settling.
Yeah. For something else. And then when they're driving, it wasn't what they really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a relationship, it's not what they really wanted. They're just making do because it's a pretty good car or a pretty good person in a relationship. It's just not quite what they really wanted, but it's not what they totally didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people, they'd be like, oh, I'm not gonna drive a pickup truck ever. I wanted this Infiniti truck. So they won't go to a pickup, but if they're offering a different type of Infiniti, they might take it. Mm-hmm. But it's not what you came there for. And dating kind of gets like that after a while. So you're, most people fall into the, they feel like they can't get it, or they just don't even try to get it. And dating gets like that because I tried it. Believe me, I tried it. And I had some pretty good cars, right? But it wasn't the car I really wanted. Mm-hmm. So I wash my car all the time, right? But if it's a car that I kind of like but don't like, I don't wash it as much. And it's not that I'm trying to neglect it. It's just it's not what I really wanted.
Yeah.
Right? It's like when people get a vehicle that they really want, they be like, oh, I don't really want to drive it. I don't want to put no miles on it. And but I think about relationships, because relationships are kind of like the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started looking at it that way, it started making choices seem different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I only get a new car if it's the car that I really wanted. But I wasn't doing that with dating until now. It's like I have absolutely what I really want. And it has more bells and whistles than I was even asking for. Like, I didn't know that my good communicator would have such a great sense of humor. I didn't know that my articulate person actually says stuff that I like to hear and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that my person will have so many things in common.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just know I wanted her to be a good communicator and mm-hmm. articulate well. Mm-hmm. And then there was all this other stuff that was included. And it's actually great like that. So people need to be honest with their self. Mm-hmm. And it starts with who you are. And it's not saying if you don't have a purpose and your plan, you can't find the person. It's just that that person is probably somewhere in that same stage of life or area as you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a purpose and the other person has a purpose, which I found happens a lot of time with women, where they'll be purpose driven and then they'll date this guy that has his potential and he's still trying to get to where he's trying to go, and then they help guide him to where he's trying to go, and then he gets there. Then when he gets there, their relationship don't work because he's a different person because he got on his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that the bad thing that he totally changed up and just wanted somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he's at a different place that the compatibility is
mm-hmm.
different.
Mm-hmm.
Because women a lot of times naturally they nurture and guide, and then it also falls back into that whole masculine energy because you're pushing a person. Why don't you get a better job? Why don't you make more money?
Mm-hmm.
Why you don't ever go anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Why you on this?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then he starts doing that, and then he develops a whole nother outlook on life. Because
mm-hmm.
now he's going out with his friends. He went back to school. He got a better paying job. He's doing all this. He's never home. But those are all the things that she told him, why are you doing this? Why are you this? And he started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's better to meet a person there on their purpose, because they're pretty much where they're supposed to be and who they're supposed to be. Because then you can grow together. If I'm still trying to find my purpose, you're on your purpose, we can have a focus together until I catch up.
That's the thing. Someone might not ever catch up. And so you're left almost just kind of chasing in a sense. And that's what I mean by dating a person's potential. Like, you don't really get to see the full effect of that person, and whatever the potential is that you have in your head, like I said, that person might not even have that for themselves. So it's best to just be with people who are already whole and have all the qualities that you are looking and seeking. And if you are seeking a high quality man or woman, then go for it. There's nothing wrong with wanting the best in life. And if that is what is considered the best for you, then seek it out and go for it. And I'm sure if you are already that person as well and you have those characteristics, like, you guys are just gonna really run into each other one day. You're gonna look up out of nowhere and you're gonna be connected with that person that you've always wanted to be connected with.
Well, I don't know if this is the right time or place to say this, because we never talked about any of these things, right, until now. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually rationalizing. I remember at the beginning when we was first starting to connect, where I know what I felt as far as myself, as my quality of self, right? But I didn't know you because we hadn't met yet,
right?
So it's like when we first start interacting, and I was trying to think, wow, she's this. And I was trying to wonder, would my version of quality actually stand up to yours? Mm-hmm. Or would I have to push more of that potential things? Because potentially, I'm not finished yet, right? It's like I'm here, but I'm still in the midst of a purpose and still trying to go places. But I didn't know if I actually, like, met your attention at that particular time. I guess it could be a few moments of insecurity.
Why?
Because I didn't really know. All I knew was looking across the room that or she or you, mm-hmm. for that matter, was exactly what I was in search of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then it's almost like it was an interview, and I was like, well, I guess maybe, because if meeting you and talking with you before our date was the equivalent of you reviewing the resume, that means I was at the interview. Mm-hmm. So I felt a little better, because I was like, well, if I made it to this stage where she's interviewing me, potentially my qualities are there and they do jump off the page. Or I wouldn't have never made it to the interview.
That's true. They jumped in my lap.
Now look at me. I'm hired, trying to get fully vested.
Fully vested.
Yeah, how long do I have to be here to get vested? Or tenured.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
So, I'm just saying, feel free, not, you don't have to answer it now. You can just let me know at a later date, because this is where I want to be. So, and you do have all the qualities that I felt I was looking for. You actually showed me others, and you helped me learn some qualities about myself that I didn't know I had, because it was just part of my constitution. Mm-hmm. It was part of just my normal me. It wasn't a persona just for dating, because it's not a game. It's the way I perfected and adjusted myself for who I am. And it just so happened to be who I am also attracted you. So I'm not acting as if I'm a better communicator. I'm not acting like I'm an honest person. Mm-hmm. I'm not acting like I'm thoughtful, caring, emotionally mature and secure. Mm-hmm. It's not an act. I know people can put on an act, but what's done in the dark comes to light. Man, the older people say all the good stuff. But it's
true,
but
though.
I think part of it being high quality is just being your best version of yourself. And it's actually just using the canvas, which is yourself, that you have to work with, and being the best version, putting your best foot forward. And if you're that version of self, it makes it easier, because you know you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Right, yeah, it's about being comfortable. The same thing, being comfortable about who you are as a person and how you're presenting yourself to the world. And knowing that what you are giving off, that there is someone out there who is looking for the exact same thing. And I feel like if you are high quality, like, you're not going to settle for less. Mm-hmm. And people have to start understanding that. Like, it might take you some time to get this person that you're looking for. But if you settle for less, it's just going to cause you more heartache, potentially. It's going to take you a longer time because you're just going to keep entertaining people that mean nothing, really, that don't add any value to your life. So I just think you make better choices and decisions, and you're able to rationalize things better if you have a high quality mindset.
Abundance mindset.
Yes, abundance mindset. That is so true.
Oh, well, I agree with everything that we were saying. Mm-hmm. Now, and I learned a lot about you with this particular podcast.
You learned some extra things about me?
Yeah, I did. I just told you what I learned. You know what else I learned? I love doing podcasts with you.
Well, that is something that we both enjoy, and we hope that you all enjoy this podcast. We hope that you guys share it, like it, send it to all your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you know. We want to get you all's perspective on this topic as well. So let us know what you all think. Rate us, leave your thoughts. We definitely enjoy doing this. Like we said, you know, this is something that's new for us. So we hope that as we continue to put out more podcasts, that you guys will see our growth and continue to follow us. But other than that, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Tabletop Discussion. And we will be back next week with a brand new topic for you guys. Anything else you want to add before we head out of here?
I just wanted to say that, again, reiterating, we're just expressing our own thoughts. In no way, shape, or form are we saying that we are experts. We're just kind of just outwardly just saying what we feel and what we think. We're just giving you just a view of our everyday conversations and the things that we talk about mm-hmm. in our relationship. Mm-hmm. That we're just sharing some of those things. And I thank you for listening. And I was going to tell you a really good joke, but it's not funny. So, I'll leave you with this joke. This is an oldie but goodie.
Oh, God.
You know what? I'm not even gonna do it. My name is Emmanuel, and this is...
And I'm Brittany, guys.
And this was Tabletop Discussions. We look forward to speaking with you again. Hello again. This is Tabletop Discussions, and I'm one of your hosts, Emmanuel. I have Brittany sitting here with me. Today's topic, we wanted to talk about moments of life or moments in life, specifically embarrassing moments. There was this quote by Christian Bale. If you remember him, he was Batman once upon a time. But he had this quote that says, "But I learned that there's a certain character that can be built from embarrassing yourself endlessly. If you can sit happy with embarrassing, there's not much else that can really get to you." What I took away from that quote is he was actually saying that when certain things happen to you, it's not that those things happen. It's actually what you gain, gather, or learn from them that really matters. Sometimes things like that happen and we tend to black them out like they didn't happen. Me and Brittany, we were having a conversation a little bit earlier, and we were just talking about childhood and growing up. And then I shared a story with her that for some reason never came up in all of my adult conversations. So once I started talking about it, it's like I don't know, I felt free. It was like this moment that I had trapped deep inside of me, locked behind many doors, chains, walls. It's almost like it didn't even exist. But somehow she got me to talk about it, and she didn't even know that it was there. And once I talked about it, it's like I started thinking about some of the things that I do now. And I realized maybe some of those things that happen, not the good thing, because we all acknowledge the good things. It's sometimes those not so good or embarrassing. But you know, when you're younger and you're a kid, everything is an embarrassing moment, even if it's not that major. But it is major when you're at that particular time. And that was life. Because I remember I would tell my mom, oh, I can't wear that. I don't want nobody to see me like that. I don't want to be embarrassed. And she'll tell me, it's just school. But when I was a kid, school was all I had. So I just want you to buckle up, relax, have a cup of cocoa or tea, and we'll be right back with you with this topic about embarrassing moments. So welcome back, everyone. This is Emmanuel, your host of Tabletop Discussions. Little bit about myself, because I hadn't really shared it, but professionally, I am a nurse practitioner. I've been doing it for several years. So I do have, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I do have a little bit of insight professionally with the human mental psyche. So I'll start by just being professional a little bit and talk about what is embarrassment. This is me. And by no means am I your counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, or provider, or anything like that. Feel free to seek out your own mental health attention. But to me, embarrassment is frequently grouped with shame and guilt. Embarrassment is considered a self-conscious emotion, and it can be profound. It can have a profoundly negative impact on a person's thoughts and behavior. The embarrassed individual tends to become conscious of a real and or imagined failure to comply with social norms, and they fear that others won't view them as highly as a result. The ensuing embarrassment can be accompanied with things like awkwardness, shame, guilt, or regret. What's notable about that is that certain events may be negative or positive based on a perception. For example, if a person, I don't know, just in general, sometimes a person can feel embarrassed by being called beautiful in front of a group of people. And some people will see that as just ridiculous, but the person can just feel that way as their perception, or they can be embarrassed on the behalf of someone else and different things like that. So it's actually a real thing, and sometimes embarrassment, it can go different ways as far as affecting self-esteem and different things like that. But we're not going to go on that right now. We're just going to talk about embarrassment. So to tell you a little bit about the story that I was telling Brittany, we were talking earlier, and I was actually talking about I wanted to change clothes and get redressed. Because I felt that I had got dirty. I was at work and I wore scrubs and I wasn't really dirty. It's just weird. But anyway, I was telling her about it. So then we start talking about different things. So I was telling her when I was younger, I was in grade school. I think I was like in fourth grade. I have a brother. He's a couple years younger than me. So this is a true story. So we were like, I don't know, 10, 11. He was like 8 or 9. So there was these older kids. They were like early teenagers, you know, like 13, 14, 15. But when you're 11, those are the older kids. They mean everything. So they used to always sit on this porch at this house. And whenever us little kids walked by, they used to always speak to us. So They used to always call me Do. And they used to call my brother Mo. And I just felt like, oh, they acknowledged me. Because it'd be like a group of me and all my friends, like six of us. And they ignored everybody except me and my brother. So we felt like we was important and we felt like we were somebody. Because every time we walked by, they'd be like, hey, dude, what's up? How you doing? And then I wave at them because I thought I was important. So I tell all my friends, that's my crew, right? So as you know, being a kid, we played outside. So we used to always play dodgeball and kickball, hide and seek, whatever it takes. Anything not to be in the house unless we're playing video games. We just like to be out. So the house that they were at was the house right next door to this field that we used to like play basketball and kickball, dodgeball, all that stuff at. So anyway, they used to always call me that and tell me to come here and come over. So I always come over and speak to them and different things. So then one time they called me Do. And then I just asked, why do you call me Do? And they was like, oh, we call you Do because you do be dirty. And my nickname to them was Do Dirty. So whenever they used to speak to me, it's because they were making fun of me and they were calling me Do Dirty. And I would just hear when they call me Do. But when I walk away, they call me Do Dirty because I do be dirty. But I was only, I guess, dirty because we used to play kickball and dodgeball. And if you play dodgeball and you catch the ball, it's usually dirt on it. It gets on your shirt. And I was only dirty because I caught the ball. And then when we play kickball, I guess everybody get dirty when you play kickball in the grass and in the dirt and, you know, like the field in the summer. And then my brother, they call him Mo because he was Mo Dirty. He was Mo Dirtier than me, I guess. And when I found that out, I was with all of my friends. Well, you know, as kids, it was my friends. And when they found out, they started making fun of me when they found out where it really was, because I used to show off for them because I thought I was somebody because the teenagers knew who I was. And then I was like so embarrassed. I don't think I came outside for like, I want to say 3 years, but in real life, it was probably like a week. But in kid time, that was like 3 years to restrict yourself from coming outside in the summer. And it's like, I didn't really know what to do. And I want to say that I kind of avoided those teenagers until my parents moved. So mind you, at this time, I'm like 9, 10, maybe 11. I don't know. Somewhere around there. So mind you, I ain't see them again. So when I was in high school, we ended up moving. So I forgot all about it. But what I did do after that, I stopped playing dodgeball, stopped playing kickball, all that stuff to get you dirty. I didn't want to do none of that. Partly because it was in the house next door to them. And also, I didn't want to be dirty. So I just gave up. So when I was in high school, I think I was particular about the way I dressed and the way I liked to look and different things like that. So one day, I think I was in like 10th or 11th grade. Mind you, I was real short when I was little. So I think in 10th or 11th grade now, I'm like 6 foot tall. So I'm walking around in school and I wasn't popular, but it was a small school. People knew me. So anyway, walking down the hall and I'm hearing somebody scream, do. So I just turned around to look and it was one of the teenagers that, mind you, he should be in high school anyway, because they had to be at least 3 years older than me. So anyway, he didn't know my real name. He was calling me Do. And I turned around and it was one of the boys that used to make fun of me. And then he thought it was okay to just call me Do. And when he did it, I was just thinking, he's calling me Do Dirty. So I had this vision in my mind, like, do I want to get into a fight and get suspended because this is a person who used to make fun of me and I was so embarrassed that I didn't want to come outside anymore. But, you know, I thought the better of it, so I didn't. So I told him what my name was, but then he kept slipping up and kept calling me Do because he was so conditioned and used to calling me that he couldn't actually stop it. So I don't even remember what he asked me because I wasn't really paying attention. I just like moved forward and moved on. So I never thought about it again. I had blacked it all out after it happened until I came across him. Then years later, when I came back to Ohio and I used to see the house where we used to, the field where we used to play at, every now and then they come to me, but I like never really share it. But I realized in my personal life, I don't like to get dirty or anything. I always like to look like I just got dressed. That's like my look at work and out of work. But I guess I'm an adult. Technically, I won't really get dirty. But, you know, if you're doing gardening, doing the yard, washing the car, you tend to get dirty. Not me. It's like I'm so meticulous that I don't want anything to be dirty because it kind of like affected me. So when I was telling Brittany the story about it, I really started thinking about it. And I was like, what are some of the other things that happened to me that made me the way that I am? So part of what we were to talk about today is just some of those moments that actually happened. And no, you can't call me Do Dirty. And no, you can't call my brother Mo Dirty. And that reminds me, I've never talked to my brother about it. He was so young then, I don't even think he knew or understood, but he never knew that Mo stand for Mo Dirty. I don't even think he remembers any of it because he was so young. So anyway, I'm gonna take a break right now to go retrieve my co-host, and I'll get back to you. Hello, we're back. So just to finish up on embarrassment, I just want everyone to know, no, I'm not your provider or your professional. Just sharing my thoughts that I feel that many people will bounce back from an embarrassing incident quickly. There's some others who are or may be more sensitive, and they could get feelings of anxiety and panic whenever they think about it. But some of us, nothing really happens. But for me, I know that it affected me now that I'm a professional, and I understand it because they say that sometimes when you're embarrassed, you try to avoid specific social interactions for fear of being humiliated again, which is me because I didn't want to walk past that house. I didn't want to play dodgeball. I didn't want to play kickball. I was just embarrassed about the experience, and it was actually detrimental to my confidence. I'm not going to say that it affected my self-worth, which could happen to a lot of people, but it did lead me to some type of anxiety just like thinking about it. So I kind of like blocked it out a little bit, subconsciously, of course. But now as a professional, I learned that some of the best ways to get over an embarrassing moment is to just laugh about it. If you shrug off things by laughing at embarrassing moment, it helps you to cope or get by. Everyone has moments like that. It's just how we choose to view them or not view them or give perspective. Like I could say, yeah. My clothes was dirty, but it wasn't dirty because I didn't bathe and didn't change clothes. I got dirty because I actually was a kid. I lived. I played. My mom used to hate when we came home dirty like that. As soon as we came in, we had to go straight to the bath. Don't sit down. Don't sit in that chair. Don't sit on that bed. No, you can't eat. Go to the bathroom. Go take a shower. It's like, but growing up, I was like, I actually really lived. Like, live. So, just wanted to share that before it gets lost in the translation.